as I told you, I'm still relatively new to COA and to Annapolis, so I find that I am always learning really cool new things about the church and about the area. And something really beautiful that I learned about last week, very fortuitously, was the Naval Academy tradition called Another Link in the Chain. Raise your hand if you've heard of that. I know I'm not telling a lot of you anything new, but this is so beautiful. I'm sure lots of you are aware of this program, but what it does is it connects Naval Academy alumni with brand new plebes who are 50 years their junior. So the class of 1966 links up with the class of 2016, and so on. 50 years difference, and they reach across and they connect. The older class, they welcome the new students, they mentor them, they participate in several of their key events, from induction day all the way through until graduation. And many of them even donate their class rings to be melted down and made into new class rings for the new class, dipped into the waters from the seven seas. So they contribute to that tradition, and they're making that sacrifice, saying, this will live on through this new graduate. I just think that's so beautiful. They share in each other's learning and their wisdom and experiences. And then, when the Naval Academy graduates are commissioned into officers, the older generation is the one that presents them now with their ensign bars. So it's such a moving symbol of passing a legacy on from generation to generation. I thought that was so lovely and so appropriate in thinking about today's theme. That's why I share it with you today, because we are in the final series of Connecting the Dots, and we end here with how our faith connects to our legacy. Now, for a lot of you, just like previous weeks, legacy may sound like a really big word and a glamorous word, something for kings and priests and naval officers. You might think, I don't really have a legacy. I'm not doing anything that major, but we all leave a legacy in this world. And that legacy begins long before we even die. We start to leave a mark. All of us at any age tell the world something about ourselves by how we live. We tell them what matters to us, what choices we would make, what inspires us, what we value. Some people tell the world by their actions that they're only interested in what they can get. They're trying to make it. They're trying to be successful. They want to make something of themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all want that, I think. We want to make something of ourselves. But the difference is whether you want it in order to build yourself up or whether you want it to make the world around you better, to make it what God dreams it could be. This builds on what we talked about last week, how we use our influence, how we build our relationships, how open we are to sharing with people whatever it is that we do have. A lot of us don't have great riches, but we have a lot of wisdom to share. A lot of us may not feel we have a lot of wisdom, but we have a lot of practical things we can share with each other. We all have something. The prolific, wise poet Maya Angelou once said, I've learned you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. I think that is so important. Do you feel that way? Do you value giving something back? You don't have to answer. That's just my question for you. Do you value giving something back out to the world? Do you feel that you've been given something? We are all a part of a faith tradition that sees itself as blessed by God, but not any more blessed than anyone else, not blessed to be better than other people. We are blessed to be a blessing to other people. It's been that way since the Old Testament days, where God chose the nation of Israel and said, you're blessed in order to bless all the nations. So their nation of Israel had gotten through exile and slavery and wandering in the wilderness. And all of that just so that they could draw people to God's light by their different way of living, by being a different kind of people. God gave them commandments and laws and all these ways to live a different sort of life. But then, in that Deuteronomy passage, that was right before Moses, their great leader, was going to die. And God had Moses remind the people of Israel that God gave them all these things, but ultimately God gave them a choice. God gives us the choice of how to live, to choose real life or this sort of shallow, self-focused life that the world offers that's only about that deep. We have to choose real life. God's not going to force it on us. We have to choose it. So how do we do that? How do we choose the life that God wants for us? I think it is a day-by-day, repeated choice. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a repeated choice. And our life is a sum of the choices. Like I said to the kids, all those little rocks, they build up, and they make something. Each day, we're given new chances to choose better things. Compassion over anger. Generosity over hoarding of our resources, worried there's not enough. Forgiveness over resentment. An open mind over judgment. Caring over popularity. All these things. Just like I said last Sunday, it starts small. It all starts small. God knows that. It's a day-to-day process. I once heard that anyone who thinks that they're too small to make a difference has never tried to fall asleep with a mosquito in the room. Right? Gosh. We are crafting our legacy day by day with the smallest of choices. And our scripture today says we will reap what we sow. So maybe not in the way we think, though. Giving money to help is not our way of ensuring that, oh, we're going to become a millionaire because God says if we give, we'll become rich. There's people out there who say that. That's not really how this works, though. God says, again, we are blessed to be a blessing. We are not blessed to be rich and simply to enjoy life for our own sakes. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. And it ends up going both ways, with that when we look, when we choose to look for other people that we can bless, we end up ourselves being blessed with them. Isn't that true? When you find yourself looking for ways to help others, you yourself are lightened and feel better. That takes a very different outlook from the way that the world encourages us to think, the way the world encourages us to live. We might run around thinking on a typical day, how do we get it all done? How do we do well? How do we do better than so-and-so? Because we've got to make it to the top. We are all prone to those kinds of influences, but instead, if we could tune our attention to how we might make this day better for someone else, our response to all kinds of other things might change. So maybe we wouldn't care if we were stuck in a long line at the grocery store because it gives us the chance to call somebody who God has put on our heart, someone who we know is having a tough time right now. And maybe we wouldn't mind if the cable was broken because it gives us a chance to go for a walk with someone that we love. The list goes on and on. All these little things in life that disrupt and annoy and irritate us, maybe our response would be different if we tuned our attention each day to how can I use this to be blessed by blessing someone else, to choose the life that God wants for me. You know, the other thing that I think about when I think about legacy, it's not just any one of us, our legacies, but today also happens to be Reformation Day. Did you all know that? Today is Reformation Day, when the church celebrates that on October 17th, 1517. It's so long ago, it almost doesn't sound like a real year. On October 17th, 1517, a monk named Martin Luther became troubled by what the church and the faith was becoming. He saw greed and corruption and abuse of power taking place in the faith that he loved, and so he nailed 95 theses onto the door of Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. He never intended to split the church the way it's often been split now in recent centuries. He never intended to create us Protestants, but he was bold enough to challenge this massive religious and political power. As one person, one day, to do what he could to challenge and to be faithful to God. Faithfulness to God was his number one priority. And so now here we are today, 499 years later, as recipients of that courageous act, of that gift. Now, Christ our Anchor is not 499 years old. We are actually a pretty new church. We are a young church. I had the pleasure of speaking at an adult education class a few weeks back held at St. Margaret's Episcopal Church, right down the road here. And compared to our 35 years, 30-some years of being together as a church, they are nearly 325 years old, which I thought was unbelievable. Everything in their sanctuary, every little thing, has this long history. At times a beautiful history, and at times kind of sad, because they were around for a long, long time during the horrendous period of slavery. So a lot of their history is mixed up in that. Now, our church does not have those kinds of historic heirlooms yet, but we also do not have that kind of historical baggage. We are not weighed down by a history of that. So I have to tell you, in speaking at St. Margaret's that night, I thought with pride about being part of such a young, new church. Because just imagine, in 300 years, whatever Christ Our Anchor Presbyterian Church may look like, it will look back on all of us as its first generations. When you get to be that historic and that old, the first 30-some years, we are the first. We're the first people. What an incredible honor. We get the chance to really build something here. We stand on the legacy of the Protestant Reformation and the Presbyterian history, but we really have a unique chance to create something new that can speak to this very hurting, divided world perhaps differently than maybe a big historic steeple church can. We have something special to offer, and that excites me. The writer of the epistle of 1 Peter, he said all of us are like living stones and that we have to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house. We are living stones and we have to let God build us up because God is trying to make something beautiful of all of us gathered here. Something so much more beautiful than a historic building. A community. A family. Something that can pass on the faith from generation to generation until we can look back and say, wow, it's been 300 years, 499 years. God is trying to build us up into something that can pass the faith on. Now, I know that some of you may worry when you hear that passing on the faith because you think to yourself, especially some of you adults with grown kids, I gave my child these faith foundations, but they don't seem to care about it. It doesn't seem to have an impact. They don't seem to really chase after God anymore. So what use was it? Well, it was no accident that the Bible uses imagery all over of sowing and reaping, planting seeds. Now, I'm no gardener, so for me, this is especially true. The growth of living things is very mysterious. Some of you know how to make that happen, not me. It is a mystery, a holy mystery, because I cannot keep plants alive. I cannot keep living things alive. Not every seed grows like we expect it to. Sometimes we have late bloomers, and sometimes we have something that dies one season and then comes back in full force the next season. We plant seeds, and that is what we can do. God makes them grow in God's own time. God chooses how he wants to build this living thing. And we must remember that when God calls us to pass on the faith from generation to generation, God is not just talking about our own children. Maybe God has given us other young people to meet and to nurture, to get to know the way that they do with another link in the chain at the Naval Academy. Did you know, for instance, that we have over 25 kids coming to our youth group right now? 25 kids in this little church. Now, to me, that is God trying to tell us something, that we have a future here. Faith has a future. God is not done with us yet, not even close. God has more to do in the world, and we are the ones who God has called, and we are the ones who God has trusted to do it. So let's connect the dots. Amen.